Please then be seated.
Good morning, and a very warm welcome to you all this morning, and a warm welcome also to those who may be listening during the week via the website. You're most welcome to be joining us from home as well. It's lovely for me to welcome as well Reverend Daniel Shane, a brother from our church here, and also spends a lot of time worshipping in other churches, so it's lovely to be with you, or to have you with us this morning. A few notices, if I may. The Christmas light switch-on is this Friday at 4:30 to 7:30, and there is a sign-up list at the back of church if you're able to come and help. Your assistance would be warmly appreciated. If you're not able to come and help, we would love it if you would be able to pray between 4:30 and 7:30. That would be fantastic, and we would appreciate that as well. There is a church meeting next week at 12:15, and the minutes and the agenda from the last meeting are on the table at the back. So please do pick yourself up a copy and have a really good read during the week. I'm sure you'll enjoy that. There is a card from Sue Doherty's family on the wall at the back on the prayer tree following her funeral. So please do take the time to read those words. Thank you to Kathy and Ian for preparing the church postbox, which you've probably walked past in the foyer there. So please do make use of that. And I'd also just like to remind you as well of the prayer meetings that we have during the week. We'll be meeting tomorrow night on Zoom, and there is also meetings on Thursday and Friday in the church. So please do take the opportunity to join in with those if you can. So I'd like to hand back now to Reverend Daniel. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be with you this morning and to have this opportunity to take your worship service. We hear God's word then from the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This is God's word, and God's word can be trusted. We sing then hymn number, "O God, our help in ages past," number 498.
To come.
fences shoot. For the hills in order stood, or every seaver frame, from everlasting you are God, the endless years the same. Come then before God in a word of prayer, let us then pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you today for the freedom we enjoy both as a nation and as individuals, freedom of speech and expression, freedom from war and oppression, a freedom achieved at tremendous human cost. In church this day, we praise you for those who made such freedom possible, for the countless men and women unknown to us, but known to you, who sacrificed life and limb in the wars of 1914-18 and 39-45, and in subsequent conflicts, leaving homes and loved ones off to return no more. For all we owe to so many, receive our thanks. We praise you for all who have fought tyranny, hatred, and evil. Prepare to sacrifice everything rather than allow such forces to hold sway. And we admire their courage shown in the face of danger, their dedication to duty, their determination to carry on despite the hardships and odds. For all we owe to so many, this day receive our thanks. We thank you today for the peace we enjoy, a peace we treasure and are grateful for, recognizing the price and the sacrifice at which it was won. We pray today for those who defend international freedom and justice, members of the United Nations peacekeeping forces, in places of testing and in places of danger, striving time and time again to maintain democracy, to keep rival factions apart, to protect innocent lives, and to work with dedication for a lasting end to hostilities. And today in church, we praise you for the freedom we enjoy. And we pray that day will come when there will be no more war, when nations of our world will live in harmony and you will rule over all. Until that time, help us to learn the lessons of the past, to remember the many sacrifices and the work as far as we are able for peace. For all we owe to so many, this day we give our thanks. So hear us now, Heavenly Father, as we come together saying the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you are able, please stand. They shall not grow old as we that left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Please then be seated. John Williams is an American composer for the big screen. His early works include How to Steal $1 Million, Goodbye, Mr. Chips, Fiddler on the Roof, Star Wars, all the Harry Potter films, and also numerous other films. Today, Christine and David will now play for us some music from Schindler's List. Thank you, David Fishkin, for that piece of music. Continue then to praise God with a hymn written by Henry Fosdick, God of Grace and God of Glory, hymn number 192. Be seated. Our gifts then for the work of God's kingdom in this place will now be uplifted. Thank you. It's good to give something back to God because God has been good to us. For the many opportunities that come our way, we give thanks. Time for education, time for recreation, and time for employment. But more importantly, time this day that we can come to your house to praise you and to glorify your name. As we give something back to you, we pray that others might know Jesus Christ as Lord and friend of their lives. In his name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn has an Irish tune to it, Londonderry Air. Sorry, Rob. Slap my wrist.
The gospel reading this morning is Luke 19, verse 28 to 38, and that's on page 1054 of the Pew Bibles. It's entitled The Triumphal Entry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as they had been told. Just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'"
Hymn 266, "I cannot tell why whom angels worship," to the tune Londonderry Air.
That he lived at night.
some words written by the psalmist. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted above nations. I am exalted in the earth. It was a way back in November 1979 that I was ordained to the ministry. It was also the year in which I was married. I was only in my charge for a few months when one day the phone went, and it was the General Secretary of the Congregational Union of Scotland, and he said to me, a position has arisen in a hospital in the west end of Glasgow for a chaplain to visit non-conformist patients, and I've put your name forward, and to make things better, you'll receive an extra £30. And I said, is that a week? He said, no, a year. So every Tuesday afternoon and Friday morning, I found myself in Garton Naval Hospital visiting not non-conformist patients, but anyone and everyone, and having time with the doctors, nurses, and also the ancillary staff as well. It was a very busy chaplaincy. And I remember one Friday afternoon coming off the lift on level 7 of the hospital, and a man said to me, hello, Minister, how are you today? How's your wife? And how are the girls? Oh, well, I replied. What about your family? And he said, Champion, everything is wonderful. The doors of the lift closed, and he was away. For the rest of the day, and for many days since, I've asked the question, who was the man on the 7th floor? I can't remember who he was. And every time at this time of year, I think about that individual, and I still can't recall his name. Yet I like to think I've got a good memory, so I believe. The month of November is that time of the year when we engage our minds to remember. In some of our churches of various denominations, there are special services for All Souls and also All Saints' Days as well. When we gather as congregations to remember the saints of the church and also to remember the blessed dead whom we have known. And on the 5th of November, communities gather to remember the events of 1605, when Guy Fawkes and his plotters tried very hard to blow up the Houses of Parliament. Remember, remember, the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. And on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, we pause once again to remember the events of the First War, the Second War, and also subsequent conflicts. The words of Lawrence Binyon are repeated in village churches, in great minsters, cathedrals, and also war memorials. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. And so we remember. It's now 105 years since the Great War ceased, and 78 years since the Second War came to an end. the wars to end all wars. Yet those wars at the end of the day did not put an end to war. Since then, nearly every decade has had its shares of conflict and also war. Who can forget Korea, Aden, the troubles in Northern Ireland, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, the Falkland Islands, and recently the terror realised in the Ukraine and the atrocities in Israel and also in Gaza. And so we gather today as a free nation to give thanks for the freedom we enjoy, but more importantly, to take time to pause and time to remember the many, many victims of war. I think for some people, there's a sense of war fatigue. They have no interest in it. They don't want to read about it. And when they watch the news on the television, they have no interest in the events that took place years ago or even recent events. They have no interest in the many acts of heroism. They cannot be bothered attending a church service or going along to a war memorial or tuning in to the annual service from the Albert Hall. The events of the war are in pages of history. So why take that time and why make that effort to remember? Well, I think it's very important that we should remember. For lots and lots of people, the events of the war is not just an historical event. Despite the many years that have passed, there are still many for whom the events of the war are very personal, very emotional, and very hurtful. And for that reason, what we do in our village churches and halls, great cathedrals and ministers, still has meaning and still has purpose. Secondly, we remember because no one has the right to forget the awful and damaging reality of war. We should never forget that during the 1939-45 war, 45 million lives were lost. We dare not forget that 6 million Jews were wiped off the face of the earth. That's more than the population of Scotland. Between the Great War, 13 million lives were lost, and the average age of those who fell on the battlefield was 19 years of age. What type of people would we be, and what type of community would we be if we forgot about that too soon? So in this very special place, in God's house, we gather as God's people to remember. And in our remembering, we must be very cautious and very careful not to glamorize war and the effects that war has on people and in our communities. Of course, there are many acts of heroism, men and women whose names should be inscribed in every war memorial up and down the country. People laid down their lives for their friends, for their companions, and even their neighbours. One of the good things that came out of war was that it created a sense of belonging, a sense of community. People realised that they were all in this together. So they rallied around each other, helped each other, supported each other. But of war itself, you cannot say a good thing about it. The majority of those who laid down their lives did not do it for the glory. Very often they were caught up in a nightmare, or in some cases, a delusional madman's dream of a better world. Many of those who lost their lives were women and children in some of our major cities, such as Coventry, Liverpool, Clydebank, and London. What we must ensure is that we steer away from trying to glamorize the experience of war. Hollywood has been doing that for years. The hero always comes back triumphant. We cannot and should not glamorize war. War is against the very message of the gospel. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. General Sherman, who fought in the American Civil War, said this about war. "I am tired and sick of war. Its glory is all moonshine. It is only those who have neither fired a shot nor heard the groans of the wounded who cry for blood and vengeance." And Harry Patch, in his book, The Last Tommy, does not mince his words about war. Harry Patch says this: "War is nothing more than organized murder." Jimmy Carlyle, who is a Burma veteran and a member of one of my churches, said about war, "What a bloody waste of such good talent." And Harry Emerson Fosdick, the author of the hymn "God of Grace and God of Glory, Heal Thy Warring Children Madness," was the minister of Riverside Church in New York. And this is what he says about war: "I renounce war because I have seen what it does to our young men. I have seen them come back from the frontier trenches. I have watched the trains loaded with bodies. I've heard the cravings of those who are crazed and the cries of those who wanted to die and could not. For those reasons, I renounce war." Today we come as God's people to remember. We come as the people of God in this place to boldly state that war is obscene. And we come knowing that we must work at best for a lasting peace. When our Lord Jesus came to this earth, he came as the Prince of Peace. His ministry was one of peace. That day when he entered the holy city of Jerusalem, he did not come with a mighty army. He did not come with a hidden agenda. He entered the city as a peaceful servant of God. Does he not say in the gospel, "Peace I leave with you"? If you want peace, you must be willing to do something about it. You have to pray and pray again and pray again for peace, and turn those prayers into a form of action. At this very time, we are sitting on a potential time bomb. There is a threat of major terrorism being unleashed in many of our major cities. We have mad dictators who believe that their way is the only way, and that democracy must be destroyed. And they have the capability to inflict pain and loss on innocent people. To work then for peace must be the goal and responsibility of everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus. We are followers of one who came in his ministry as the Prince of Peace. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." I wonder, if we were to be still, what would we hear God saying to us? Can there be any doubt of his message in our day and age? Listen again to the words of the psalmist. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. Be still and know that I am God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. Amen. And thanks be to God. Our next hymn was written by Ian Pitt Watson, a Church of Scotland minister. And it's a Scottish tune, Highland Cathedral. You are before me, God, you are behind. Come then before God in a word of prayer, let us then pray. God of love and God of peace, Bless our country and Commonwealth. Give wisdom and strength to the King. Govern those who make the laws. Guide those who direct our common life. And grant that together we may fulfill our service for the welfare of the whole people and for your praise and glory. Bless all members of the armed forces. Defend them in danger. Give them courage to meet all occasions with discipline and loyalty. So may they serve the cause of justice and peace to the honor of your everlasting name. Bless our young people. May they never see the flames of war or know the depths of cruelty to which individuals can sink. Grant that in their generation they may be faithful servants of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Bless our friends and those who were our enemies, who suffered or are still suffering from war. Grant that your love may reach out to the wounded, disabled, the mentally distressed, and those whose faith in you has been shaken. Today we remember those from this church and this community whose names are inscribed on our war memorials, who paid the supreme sacrifice. Comfort those who mourn the death of a loved one, and all who this day miss the companionship of close friends. Bless those who are homeless, those who have had to flee their homeland. We pray for the hungry, those who have lost their livelihood or security. Help us to pledge ourselves to comfort, support, and encourage others, that all may live in a world where evil and poverty are done away, and where human life reflects the radiance of your kingdom. Bless those in authority in every land and give them the wisdom to know and courage to do what is right. Encourage those who work for peace, who strive to improve international relations, who seek new ways of reconciling people of different race, color, and creed. Bless your church throughout the world. By your Holy Spirit, draw the scattered flock of Christ into a visible unity and make your church a sign of hope to a splintered world. Grant that we who bear your Son's name may be instruments of peace, bringing peace to our homes, our nation, our community, and our world. And now in a period of silence, we pray for ourselves, for those whom we love, those whom we care about, and for those who we find to have a meaningful relationship with. Gracious God, you hear all prayers, spoken and unspoken, and we offer these in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. sing a last hymn then to a Welsh tune, Give Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And if you remain standing for the benediction, we'll then sing the national anthem. Give Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us now and evermore. Amen. Be seated.